This morning I'd like us to think about those 3 days. Those 3 days. And as you look up there on the screen at the picture that I put, it's not one that we really want to see on Resurrection Sunday, is it? Because as we look at that, what do we see? We see the tomb closed. And as we look at that, and as we try and visualize that, that's not what we were thinking about this morning, was it? No. We picture the open tomb, the resurrected Christ. But I'd like us to think about this morning what those 3 days must have been like for the disciples. And that's where I'd like to start. We're not going to leave that place closed this morning. We're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to see how the Lord opened that grave and Jesus Christ walked forth victorious on that morning. So let's not leave that there, but I'd just like us to contemplate and to think about those 3 days between Jesus Christ hanging on a cross, shedding his blood for our sins, and what happened in those 3 days. So as we begin, I'd like us to think about the past. God's fingerprint placed on his redemptive plan before Jesus Christ died on the cross. As I read this book, and I don't know about you, but I've read this book a few times, and I haven't had this Bible very long, but it's starting to fall apart because I use it every day. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And as I begin the book and I read to the end of the book, all throughout it, I see a cohesive work that was written over thousands of years that all point towards the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I look through it and as I read it, I see, man, when I read that story, I'm thinking about the cross. And that happened long before the cross. When I read that story, I'm thinking about the cross. And it all fits together. And for me, it's such a beautiful thing that as I read this, I see all through the pages of Scripture, God's thumbprint, his fingerprint on every line, every story, everything that I come to. And I just get so excited as I read about that. So I'd like us to put it in the past, and I'd like us to look at those 3 days. And I'd like to put us, like us, to be placed in some situations. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 4, says, "Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and he rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." As I read this passage of Scripture, I got to think about what was Abraham going through in those 3 days when God said, Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham had to take his son and had to go on this journey for 3 days, the whole time thinking, I've got to offer my son as a sacrifice. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes for those 3 days. What would that have been like? It would have been terrible, wouldn't it? I mean, you think about three days. There's something that I was reading this week that said, 3 days can go by like that, or 3 days can take an awful long time. It's all about your perspective, isn't it? When you're on vacation, 3 days isn't very long, is it? And when you're sitting around resting or having all this excitement. But I was talking this morning with my Sunday school boys, that we were talking about this concept ahead of time. And I said, well, what about, like, could you imagine 3 days in the dentist chair? Oh, wouldn't that be awful? So, someday, when I'm in the dentist chair for 20 minutes, it feels like 3 days, right? Sometimes 3 days can drag on. Remember when you were six, well, maybe it's just me, but when you were 16 and you were about ready to get your driver's license, you know the road test was coming up. How long did those 3 days take? Right? And 3 days can go by in a hurry, or it can seem like an eternity. And I have to think about what would it have been like for Abraham that whole time, keeping that to himself of what God's plan was and what those 3 days must have been like. One of my favorite verses about that story comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. And let's read that. And as we think about what Abraham was thinking and what God had laid on his heart, I think that Abraham thinking this had to have come from God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Could you imagine what those 3 days must have been like? Would you turn over in your Bibles? Because we're gonna kind of take a whirlwind journey, because we don't have a ton of time this morning. And we're going to look at those 3 days in the past. I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. As Joshua and the children of Israel were beginning, getting ready to enter the land, to go into the city of Jericho, some spies went to the house of Rahab, and you know the story where Rahab let them down on a scarlet cord, and the agreement was made that if the scarlet cord hung in the window, that whoever was in that house would be saved. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 15 to 18, it says, then she let down a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Imagine what it must have been like to be those spies and to have this whole encounter with Rahab, to know that God was leading them in to Jericho to bring down that city so that they could conquer the land. And their enemies are searching for them. And the message is that they have to go over there and hide for 3 days. I don't know about you, but I was never good at hide and seek. When you'd say, you know, they'd start counting, they'd be like, one, two, three. And I'd be sitting there hiding. And you know what I always wanted to do? Like when the person was searching, I always wanted to run and go find a different place to hide, which usually isn't a good strategy. You usually got to stay and be quiet. But I wasn't very good. And I was like, man, they've been looking for like an hour and it'd been like 30 seconds. That was me, personally. And what must it have been like to go through those 3 days? Again, I told you we're going on a whirlwind journey here. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a whale. We could turn over to our Bibles, to the book of Jonah. I love Jonah chapter 2. And I'm sure you know this story and you've heard it. But those 3 days. In Jonah chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the fish's belly." And he, excuse me, I wanted to start in Jonah 1:17. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me." And we have this conversation that Jonah has with God about being in a fish's belly. "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, all your billows and your waves over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the mooring, to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah knew what it was like to be in the midst of those 3 days. Elijah prayed over the widow's dead son. Pastor Baker this morning, as he was reading and as he was doing the sunrise service, he talked about the resurrections through the scripture. And it was kind of interesting because as I was hearing this, often him and I say, we don't get together and make a plan of what we're going to talk about. We never do. But it's interesting how God just takes what he's going to say and what I'm going to say, and he puts it together, just like he put together this book in a way that's so perfect. But I was like, boy, he didn't talk about 1 Kings 18, and that fit exactly what he was talking about. That's because I'm going to talk about it this morning. God knew. God knew. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 22, says, "So Ahab," excuse me, that should be 17, my fault, 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 to 22, says, "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?' And he said to her, 'Give me your son.' So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, 'Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?' And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to them.' Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Imagine what it must have been like to be that woman, to be Elijah, as he's praying over that son, those three times that he prayed over that son. In all of these situations, we see mortal danger. Everybody in every single one of these situations is in mortal danger. But we see the saving grace, the mercy of God poured out. There's other times in the Bible, and you can write these down for time's sake. We're not going to go and look to them. But look at Hezekiah. Had to endure 3 days before he was healed. David's 3 days of judgment for numbering the people. We see in all of these situations, it's like they work together. It's like they were there on purpose because God had a plan. Didn't he? He had a plan in the past of what he was going to do in the future. And then, if we were to take ourselves to the present on Resurrection Sunday, is that week as Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he put that plan into action that he'd been laying the groundwork through Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Jonah, and as he's been laying this groundwork and putting it all together, as his son hung on the cross, he said, "Now you're going to see what this is all about. You're going to see my plan brought out in action." Jesus, in the midst of it all, he explained it all. So many times, as Jesus is walking around with his disciples, and as he's talking to the crowds of people, he explained exactly what he was going to do. And I've always said, if you take the book of Matthew and you read it, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Jesus, in the midst of it all, explains it all. It's almost like you can take this book, read a page, and Jesus says, "Here's why I'm here, here's what I'm going to do, and here's why it's important." Turn the page. Jesus says, "Here's why I'm here. Here's what I'm going to do. And here's why it's important." And I have to think that if the author of the Gospels wrote it down, it was important, but he must have said it so many more times than is written in the book. I have a feeling that when you walked around with Jesus, you heard these words a lot. That Jesus spelled it all out of what's going to happen. And then it happens and everybody's surprised. In our lives, we're looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ and him to come back and fix this world and the resurrection from the dead. For all the believers, all the saints of God, and we know it's going to happen, but in the midst of it all, as we're in the midst of those 3 days here on this earth, waiting for our Lord, our Savior, to call us home, we wonder, what's going on? What's God's plan? And God has it all spelled out for you. He's been showing us all the way through that he's got a plan, and he's going to finish it. But I think us, like the disciples, we maybe don't hear exactly what God is trying to say. Let's look at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21 says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Jesus Christ right there says, wicked men are going to take me, hang me on a cross. I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. Turn one page. Maybe two. But probably one. To Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. It says, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful.'" Jesus Christ, spell it out. 3 days are coming, and this is exactly what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Pay attention. Matthew chapter 20. For me, I have to turn two pages. Maybe you got to turn one or three, but not very far. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 19 says, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he will rise again.'" And you could take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look through it, and you're going to find all through it Jesus Christ explain what the cross was going to look like. And during those 3 days, when the stone was sealed, it was hard on everyone. Difficult. And those 3 days must have been very, very difficult to endure. Could anyone deny what Christ was going to say, what he was going to do, what he was going to spell out? I think so often as we look at what happened on the cross and what was taking place, we see it from a different perspective because we're on this end of it. And we get excited about those 3 days and we think about this time and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it brings joy to our hearts, and we are excited for what Christ did on the cross. It's a celebration for us. But I have to think for those disciples, for the people who mourn the death of Jesus Christ, who they had hoped would come and be their Savior, those 3 days must have been like sitting in the dentist chair. Like waiting for something that they weren't looking forward to. Sitting in the doctor's office, waiting for news from a doctor, not knowing if it would be good or bad. And today, we look forward to and we await that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 resurrection. We can look in the past and we can see the resurrection of Jesus Christ who hung on the cross for our sins. But we look forward to the ultimate resurrection when the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain we'll be caught up together with the Lord. And we look forward to that. But right now, we're in the midst of those 3 days. Could you imagine what it must have been like to go through those hours of darkness on a cross? Jesus Christ purchased our victory over the grave on those days. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24 as we look at the future. Jesus Christ returned to finish the redemption of his creation. Let's first look at Luke chapter 24 and let's read verses 1 to 7. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Jesus Christ knew what those 3 days were going to look like. He offered them the hope ahead of time, but those 3 days were still hard to endure. But then he ultimately had victory over the grave. And we look in the future and we see that the Lord did have... Hang on there a second. There's the open tomb, right? That's what we're looking for. We might have started with it closed, but it's open now. And then it's a hope. We have hope of healing. Excuse me. There we go. A hope of healing. A hope of... It doesn't want to stay on the one that I wanted. There we go. Hope of healing. Let's just go to Hosea. Let's go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. I love this verse. I read it to open church last week in our Sunday school hour. It says, "Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain on the earth." This passage here is prophetic of God's relationship with the children of Israel, about how their relationship, because of the idolatry in the land, would be torn apart. But God would fix that relationship. He would redeem it and he would restore it. The third day, as you look through the scriptures, has to do with people or individuals that were in mortal danger because of problems, sin, destruction, testing, trials. But God always had a plan of healing, redemption, and hope. Hosea chapter 6 is one of those prophetic passages that might have dual fulfillment. For the nation of Israel, for the children of Israel, for us as believers, in which a relationship has been torn apart by sin. And in the midst of it all, as we wait for that hope and redemption, that third day where Jesus Christ will raise us up and restore that relationship and revive us and give us new life, we look forward so much for that. And right now, our relationship with the Lord isn't what God always intended it to be. We're not walking hand in hand with him and face to face like they did in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. But we're going to if we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Sin has separated us from our Lord. But the day is coming where he will revive that relationship. On the road to Emmaus, as the men were walking with Jesus Christ, not knowing who it was. They said there, as they were talking to the Lord, they said, now today is now the third day since these things have happened. And there they were, walking with the Lord. We are so close to being with our Savior. This life might seem long. It might seem hard. Might seem difficult. Maybe being in this world and the things that have gone on in our lives feels like we've been sitting in the dentist's office in his chair with that drill on our teeth for 30, 40, 50 years, waiting for it to be over and so we could see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But compared to eternity, you just got to stop and think about that. We need to be reminded of that often. Compared to eternity, this is like a 20-minute dentist office visit. We look forward to and we're excited about that day where we'll be with our Savior forever. And I look forward to that. Now today is the third day since these things have happened. Those guys walking on the road to Emmaus, I don't think they had any idea what they were saying. He will revive. He will restore us. He will raise us up. And we look forward to that going home to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,